Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Thus begins the song, Mary, Did You Know?, one of the more popular songs played during the Christmas season. And I happened to notice it was part of Perry's prelude this morning. I kind of chuckled in the back when I heard it. It's named because throughout the song, it continues over and over again. Mary, did you know? It's a pretty song. I really enjoy it. It's dark and ethereal, and it has that minor key feeling to it. But here's the thing. Mary knew. We know she knew. Because our scripture today clearly tells us she knew. Mary sang an entire song of her own to tell us she knew and how she felt about it. When a commentator recently pointed out this relationship between the song, Mary, Did You Know?, and Mary's song, which we call the Magnificat, I had a bit of an aha slash almost a little bit of a, well, duh, moment. As much as I had listened to this song over and over, because let's be honest, as I said, it's a pretty song, especially the pentatonics version, if you're familiar with it. It's one of my favorites. I had still never thought to answer the song's question. And yet, when I heard these commentators say it, it just clicked. And suddenly, instead of sounding thoughtful and deep, the lyrics sounded condescending and made me think of one of our 21st century terms, mansplaining. For those unfamiliar with the word, the term mansplains comes from the combination of man and explain, and is used in general referring to the idea of a man commenting or explaining something to a woman in a condescending or overconfident and or oversimplified manner, while also often getting it wrong. In the case of Mary, Did You Know?, the more I listen to it, the more it sounds like a cisgendered male, white, condescendingly telling Mary, an unmarried, pregnant woman of color, exactly how her story should be interpreted and told. No, I'm not up here to preach on what should and shouldn't be played as Christmas music on the radio. I won't even get started on Baby, It's Cold Outside. That's a whole other sermon. But I am here to talk about why songs and stories and who tells them matter. The scripture from today can really be divided into two parts. The first section, verses 39 through 45, focuses on Elizabeth and Elizabeth meeting with Mary and blessing Mary, and the baby in her womb, John the Baptist, recognizing Jesus. Elizabeth and John recognizing together that Mary is blessed and carries God's son. And the second part, the Magnificat, verses 46 through 55, is Mary's song in response to Elizabeth's message and the larger blessing she has received from God. It is within Mary's song that Luke lets us know Mary not only knows what is going on in that moment within her body, she predicts what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will do. She knows that God will continue to do good things for God's people because God has already kept God's promises. Mary's anthem is an anthem of Advent in that it is a prediction of what God is doing and will do because of what God has already done. Mary's song is a song that's in between. It represents both the past, the present, and the future at the same time. And Advent does too for us. We're celebrating the past that Jesus was born. We're celebrating the current present time as we continue to wait and revisit the past and revisit how it focuses on our lives now. And we also are waiting for the future. Advent is a time of also contemplating how we go forward, how we continue to do God's will, to create God's future vision of kingdom here on earth. Mary's song also foreshadows the ministry of Jesus, but instead of linking it to Jesus being the only one to come in and turn the tables, she reminds us that God has already come in with others, other prophetic voices to start to turn the world upside down. Jesus has come. Jesus' coming will be God continuing to turn the world upside down. The hungry will be filled and the full will go hungry. God's kingdom will come here on earth. And we are called to continue to fulfill that vision. To give you a little bit of context of Mary's song, we have to remember that in this moment, as she is singing of the past, of the joy of the present, of the hope for the future, that she is a pregnant, unmarried woman of color. She is oppressed and outcast. How easy it would have been for her to ignore her message, for others to ignore her. How easy it can be today for us to ignore her message. For us to allow others to mansplain and speak over her voice. And yet, when we ignore it, we miss out on the powerful message of God. We miss out on the reminder that God is at work now. God was at work and God continues to be at work. That Christ's salvation, Christ's love is not only for our future, but for our present. In Mary's song, she demonstrates that God is a God concerned with the social and political realities of the daily lives of the Jews and now of our daily lives, and that God always acts on behalf of the oppressed and against the proud and powerful. God brings down the powerful and lifts the lowly. Yet God is in the moment now and the moment to come. Magnificat, Mary's song, invites us to imagine how our world would look like if Jesus sat on the throne and ruled not with war and greed, but with peace and justice. A ruler that rules not through violence, but through gentle love and grace. But ignoring is easier. Mansplaining, or even whitesplaining as it's sometimes used now, is used when people of power feel uncomfortable and insecure, when they feel their power being challenged. And so we want to stay in our comfort and we ignore it, or we speak over those voices calling out to challenge us instead of uplifting them to hear the truth. I do want to recognize that there are times when we are also those voices being shut out. But that is why the church, the community, is so important, because it is in community that we recognize and work together to understand when it is our turn to step up and speak out, and when it is our turn to step back and let other voices speak out. And so we come back to the first part of our scripture when Elizabeth comes and greets Mary. In that moment, they recognize the need for community. They recognize the need for both their voices to be heard. Elizabeth sings a blessing, and Mary responds to that blessing with power and joy and courage. God is in community. God is here with us in our intergenerations, where old and young come together both with the voice to share and learn from one another, to support one another. When we listen to Elizabeth and Mary, and when we read and share their story, we're reminded that each woman is sharing a prophetic voice of God's unconditional grace-filled love. And whether we are the ones talking over truth or sharing the news of power and speaking truth to power like Mary, there is good news for all of us, because God is still a God of unconditional love, a God that keeps promises, continues to promise, and continues to keep those promises. When we hear Mary's song, we're helped to see the world as God sees it. God sees what we can become. And we are offered hope for transformation. Because the God that Mary celebrates is not merely to point people towards the end, towards heaven, but to remind us that God's transformational, redemptive work begins here on earth. As this theologian Judith Jones says, rather than being satisfied with just comforting the lowly, Mary's Lord lifts them up, grants them dignity and honor, a seat at the table and a voice in the conversation. And at the same time, God shows strength by disrupting the world's power structures, dethroning rulers, and humbling the mighty. In Mary's song and in Jesus' ministry, we see a God who loves us as we are, but does not leave us where we are. God comes not just for the lowly, but to open our eyes and to help strip us of our arrogance so that we can be transformed, so that every person on earth has access to enough of the world's resources, so that every person is treated with dignity and respect, and no one uses power to harm. Mary's song magnifies a God and a Jesus Savior who loved the whole world with the love that makes creation whole. God's saving judgment is not the judgment that we think of here on earth, but a judgment that brings down from pride and fills us up until we can't see either God or neighbor. To take away the shame that distorts our worldview and convinces us that no one, not even God, could love us. God raises up the lowly. God helps transform the powerful. I still and will continue to enjoy the Mary Did You Know song for the music part. But from now on, I will hear it as a reminder to ask, who in my life should I be listening for? Who am I speaking over? Whose voice is missing? May you do so also, because we live in a world that longs for a gentle peace, a generous sharing of the goods of the earth, a time of quiet joy and healing. And Mary invites us to stand with her in the expectant hope, filled with joy, envisioning that world where God's love reigns on earth. May it be so.